actually supposed to be in Wichita today, but it didn't work out. So, I don't see any company. I don't have any visitors in here this morning. Running behind. I think we've got Brother David Perry and his family coming. Are they here? Yeah, and Brother Chad Neptune, I think. So from Dallas, we've got visitors from Dallas. So blessed. Okay. We're in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. We got down to got down to the white horse. Oh, we might just regress just a little bit. There they are. There's Brother and Sister Perry. They're all glad to see them. All right. God bless you. Glad to have you. I'm sure Brother Durham will probably want to mention it, but I want to thank all of you men that helped the Durhams move yesterday. Really appreciate everyone's willingness to help out and help each other. And I will mention that the alarm system is installed and we are turning it on and off. Wasn't on this morning, so whoever left last night probably didn't get it turned on right. Yeah. If it says, it has to say ready before you put the code in. If you start to put something in and it comes up, what's it say, Brother Tally? Yeah, it'll say away after you put the code in. Brother Durham thought it said armed. Uh-huh. Oh. Okay. Well, Brother Tally got it. He thought it said away, but it might have said stay. He might have just couldn't see it good. That sounds like close. But he didn't maybe stay for the rest of it, but he did drive around the back of the building and saw the light was on. There is a light above the back two doors on the left-hand side. If that light's on, the alarm's on in this building. So that's one way to know it's on. But doesn't it start clicking or something when you turn it on to get out, to go back out? He can't hear very good, but I think Brother Tally heard it. Did it click? When you turned it on to go out, did you hear it? Clicking, beeping sound, like a beeping sound. But anyway, till we get it all figured out, if you're going to come in the building, you need to call me or Sister Weiniger right now or Brother Tally so we can make sure it gets turned off for you to get in. We're working on it. I don't even have it set up yet where we can. This week we should have it set up where we can turn it on and off with phones. So it's just taking a little bit of an adjustment and transition period with it. There is there's a way that it can be turned off, and then after you're in here, you can turn on the door alarms and the glass breakage alarms. And where the alarm system can be on while you're in here, but the since the motion detectors will not be on. And then you can turn it off and then turn it all on before you leave. Yeah, that can be done too. So, all right. The 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. Yes, sir. Okay.
On the 10th verse where it was talking about the fellow servants.
Uh-huh.
From what I understand, you may have
Excuse me just a second, Brother Jerry. Turn the handheld mic down just a little bit. Okay.
It said, I am thy fellow servant. And I think you may have covered this before, that these are some of the New Testament saints, maybe some of the prophets there that in the 10th verse.
Mm-hmm.
And but after the church fell away, I'm sure that they weren't able to be overcomers. They weren't in that category, were they? I guess what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. No one overcame after the early church fell away. This guy here was evidently made the bride in the early church.
Okay, so it had to be some of them that arose when...
Could have been Paul or Peter. Could have been a lot of people. Could have been Job. Could have been, you know, some of the Old Testament worthies are a New Testament person that made the bride. He said, I fell at the feet to worship him, this angel that was showing him this stuff. And he said unto him, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren. In other words, he's letting him know he's not a third heaven angel. And have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Well, then, I guess what my question is, he wasn't the only one. I'm sure there probably was a whole bunch of them. You know.
Yeah, I'll turn to the 22nd chapter. Here he is again in the 8th and 9th verse. He said, I, John, saw these things and heard them, and when I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then saith he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. So he's telling, he gives this account of him. I'm sure he didn't do that more than once, but he gives the account again. But here he's a little bit more explicit, saying, I'm of the prophets and them which keep the testimony of this book. So he reveals that he is an overcomer. We know no one's inherited an eternal life without overcoming. So he has to be someone that made the bride in the early church. The only time anybody's ever made it is at that time. So he would have made the bride during that 45-year period, or the day of the Lord, the last month and hour of their world, of the Jewish world. Not necessarily, because there was prophets in the New Testament. So, and all ministers were called prophets. Let the prophets speak, two or three. So this could have been a minister. Somebody could look at their concordance right there, or their I'll do it on my phone and see what Greek word is being used there as a prophet. Now, John saw these things, heard them. Okay. fell down at his feet. See thou did not. Prophets. Inspired. Yeah, that word could be translated minister too. So, he was of the, but he was evidently a minister at some time. He was of the ministry. And so, but he is letting us, you know, he is revealing that he's, what are you doing here? Oh, I remember you said you was going to be here this morning, Lord. Praise God.
All right.
All right. Sal Johnson.
All right. All right. So is that what your question was? Did I clarify that? Yeah, what you was wondering was, does this guy make it after that some way?
Yeah.
There's no indication for that.
The way you presented this right in this moment, it sounded like you said during that 45-year period that those people that made the bride, did they go to third heaven?
Yes, I believe they did.
Okay, thank you.
The souls under the altar, you know, we've always taught that the souls under the altar in the sixth chapter, I mean, the teaching on it, the way Brother Souders taught it was, is that that was the golden altar, and that people, when they made the bride, they weren't really active. That's how he taught that. They didn't know what to do that. Here these people are under the altar, but so I had to put them under the altar, but yet they're supposed to have life, so they put them, you know, they said, well, if they're under the altar and they're having to wait on their fellow brothers, fellow servants, then they must be inactive. So they didn't really know what to do with them. If you turn back to the sixth chapter of Revelations right quick. Now, I've changed on that teaching, and I have presented that to the brethren, but they don't like it. But I still am not changing back right now until somebody said at this last meeting I was at, they said, you know, if we could get this guy to change on his doctrine, he would be all right. And the other one said, I don't think that's going to happen. And I said, yeah, I've got an open mind. I'll listen to you. But I said, y'all going to have to do a better job than what you've done to change me. Because I said, you don't have the right answer. You don't have answers to my questions. So in the sixth chapter, there's a white horse. You know, we all have the same teaching on that. The early church is the white horse. When it fell away, it went into a Pentecostal type era or a red horse. Then it went into a black horse state, which was a Protestant type era. White horse was a 45-year period. The red horse was a 100-year period. And the black horse was a 360-year period. Then it went to the pale horse. Okay? He's following a sequence here. So after... And that was in the fourth seal when the pale horse is revealed. And then in the fifth seal, he said, he had opened the fifth seal, I saw the altar, under the altar, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Then the sixth seal opens after that. Now, so this fifth seal is after the fourth seal. It's following a sequence of the church falling away. And so what this shows me is I do not see these people as being bride members. This was during the Dark Ages. It was after the pale horse already was in place. But these people were martyrs. And it shows there's a condition, that there is a condition that God is aware of when they're saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not avenge our blood?" It's the same to me. I like to use Cain's blood. Not Cain, but Abel. When Cain slew Abel, his blood cried out. God, it shows God was aware that there's a situation that needs to be judged. And so, and here the Lord is recognizing there's a situation that needs to be judged. Also, white robes were given to them. They were counted righteous. That's what white robes represent. They were counted righteous because of their faith and holding to God. But the Lord was saying, I'm not going to avenge, or I'm not going to bring vengeance or wrath on the situation yet. The wickedness or the iniquity is going to have to be full before, and it's time for me to bring eternal judgment on this system. So there's others. There'll be other martyrs, that would have to, they'll go through this because God was in all of this. Just same way God hardened Pharaoh's heart. God used Pharaoh to bring about his will for his people. God's using the beast system and the civil or the dragon power in the same way to bring about his fullness to the Gentiles. So this wasn't a golden altar. For the first thing, there is nothing under the altar in the golden altar. There was no ashes under the golden altar. They were on the golden, there was incense burned on the golden altar. But there was ashes under the brazen altar. This had to take place in first heaven under the brazen altar. These people were sacrifices. They had faith. They tried to serve God on all they knew, and they gave their lives. And there they are underneath the golden altar. God recognized them. They've got a resurrection coming. And I say they'll resurrect down here in the end of the Gentile world when the church is restored. And they will... And God will venge at that time. God will bring wrath and vengeance on his church. On the beast system. And bring vengeance for the church. So we were reading that in the 18th chapter, where when God judged this system, they said in the 18th chapter and... here I am.
So you're saying they're awake and active, those bride members?
I'm saying they received their glorious body like the Lord, and they're with the Lord and have been ever since. No, not these bride members are, but not these people under the altar. These people didn't make the bride. They were martyrs, and they're in the grave. God won't speak them back into existence until the resurrection of the just down here.
She's talking about the Jewish bride members.
What is their role? Oh, right,
well, just like this one man here, he is talking to John. He's saying, "I'm of the prophets. I'm your fellow servant of the prophets and of them that keep the testimony of this book." So, he moved out a live soul and got his body, and he's with the Lord, but he's not ruling and reigning yet over the nations of this world. That hasn't been set up yet, and that's not going to take place until the millennium. But they're alive, they're in heaven, they're working you know, well, he's working right here. He's working as an angel. So the Lord's letting him, you know, he's a messenger right here, you know. So they're active, and who could go show you what they've been revealed to them any better than one of them that's been here? You know, a third heaven angel, sure, they can be a messenger of the Lord, but they don't have the testimony of somebody that's went through this overcoming process like Jesus. And it's just like Jesus and God both to not do it all by themselves and delegate out the authority and let others work and labor and have a part. So, you know, to me, this just all fits together, and I don't see we have to put anybody hanging in a limbo state somewhere. You know, I mean, I've asked the question, where are they? Well, they're conscious. I said, well, what are they doing? Well, are they in heaven? No, they're not in heaven yet. They're under the altar. I said, well, where is that at? You know, I mean, if we don't have a second heaven condition, where is that? It doesn't make sense. It just don't make sense. This makes a lot more sense to me. I would like for somebody to, if I'm wrong on it, I'd like for someone to explain it better so I can change. But that doesn't make sense to me. When I heard it the first time, it was the best thing I'd heard, so I accepted it. But when Brother Leniger gave us this, it made a lot more sense. And it ties together. The more you understand the book of Revelation, the more it all ties together and it all makes sense. And so we'll have to change on some things. There's several things that you have to change on. Because of the context. I think we have to be honest to say that we've had somewhat of a pig trail through the book of the Revelation, and we've picked out scriptures and we like to use those scriptures, but if we hold them in their context, they don't work as good. And so, you know, I feel like God's just revealing more, and like I've always said to y'all, you know, this is how I understand it right now. And you've got to have some understanding of this book before you can adjust it. You know, but I've always said, don't get settled on anything until this ministry gets settled on it. So, but somebody's got to be working on it. Somebody's got to be trying to make sense out of it. And then as God reveals more and more, and God reveals to the ministry, we'll finally get one eye, we'll finally get a position, and the truth on it, the Lord will reveal that in these last days. So until then, I think I'm right on it.
This fifth seal takes us down to the sixth seal, right? And isn't that beginning the last hour?
The sixth seal?
Begins the last prophetic hour, the second woe.
Yes. There
was a great earthquake.
Yes. Where it says, I beheld, verse 12, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth their untimely figs when she's shaken of a mighty wind. Well, we've always taught this here, you know, was a falling away. But it's but it makes more sense. This is the United States of America being judged. Let's look again at Isaiah 13 and 16. The ninth verse of the 13th. Isaiah, where did I say 11? 13 and 9 is where I want to... Well, let me back up to the 6th chapter. It says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt, and they shall be afraid. Pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another. Their faces shall be as flames. If you want to just look at the first verse here, it says the burden of Babylon, which Isaiah the son of Amos did see. So this is a prophecy concerning Babylon. Verse 9, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, cruel both with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth. The moon shall not cause her light to shine. And I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity. And I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughty of the terrible. Here he's putting judgment on a nation. And he's pronouncing judgment on Babylon here, but in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation, you see the same thing. God's putting the lights out. In the 6th seal, there's an earthquake. There's a great shaking. And God's going to have to judge America. America, you know, in other words, the lights of the stars and the ministry has went dim. I'm talking about overall as far as the church world's concerned and our nation is concerned. God will judge America. There'll be a great earthquake. Before the 10 kings can come into power, America will have to go down. There's no other nation going to come in power as long as America's in power. America is a world superpower. And I say she's the seventh head of the beast. And America will build an image to the beast, but God will judge this nation because this nation is where God chose for the gospel to be spread and for it to be restored. This is the nation that the whole world has heard about Jesus Christ, the Gentile world, through. And this nation has turned its back on God. They're trying to pass every kind of law they can pass to make sure that nothing is ever said about Jesus anymore. No prayer in schools. They're taking down the scriptures out of the federal building, federal buildings. Court buildings and all over. They're promoting homosexuality in this country about as fast as it can happen. There's not enough righteousness to keep that wickedness out. This country's in trouble, but God will restore his church before he pours his wrath out on it. To me, this is the type here, the Old Testament type that shows this setting is when Elijah, remember Elijah, he challenged the prophets of Baal and Asherah on Mount Carmel, which started that's a type of the Reformation starting, challenging the dragon and beast system, the pale horse system. And if you remember Jezebel, after he killed all those prophets, Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And he ran for his life. And the Bible said he laid down under a juniper tree. He ran and he finally got so tired he laid down under a juniper tree and went to sleep. And that's just a picture. Juniper tree's an evergreen. And it's a picture of that the reformers, they were being martyred, they were persecuted, and the only place they could find rest was in the Word of God. That's what a juniper tree represents. It's It's life. And the only place they could get any rest for their souls or any peace was in the Word of God. Anyway, he went to sleep and he remembered an angel woke him up and he had a cruise of water and a couple of little cakes cooked for him. He said, eat it. And he ate it and then he went back to sleep. That's a picture. That feeding right there is a picture of the Protestant movement, that God fed the church with enough food to make it through the wilderness. Because God, and he went to sleep. That gave the church enough rest. Just the Protestant era was enough truth and enough faith to have rest for your soul. And God sustained the people of God that had faith through that period of time. Then he woke him up again, said, eat again. And that's a picture of the Pentecostal era. When the Protestant era reached its peak and God restored the church that much, then he started the Pentecostal era, and that was the second feeding that fed the people of God and helped the church be restored. The angel told him, said, you're going to need this for your journey. And we certainly have. We've needed the Spirit of God and the Word of God to help us get to where we're at, which is, he told him to go to Mount Horeb, which is where, that's the mountains of Zion. That's where the pattern was given to Moses for the tabernacle. And so when he got there, if y'all remember, he went in a cave. You know, and I say that cave represents the body of Jesus Christ. When you come in the true church that God's establishing down here in the end of this world, you'll be in a safe place. And the wind started blowing, and it blew rocks against the mountain so hard that it broke the rocks. And that's happening right now. The winds of doctrine and the winds of finance and the winds of military power, the four winds, religion, military, financial, and civil powers are blowing. They're in a storm right now it's breaking up all of the different structures of that they're structured by. They're the structure of all of those resources are being broke up. Remember in the 7th chapter of the book of Revelation, John sees an angel that says he saw one step out and say, hold back the four winds until I seal my servants in their foreheads. But, and so God's going to, the church is going to be safe, but God's going to be making judgment all along. And so the winds are coming, are blowing right now, I think. And then what happened was an earthquake, wasn't it? An earthquake shook everything. And that is a picture of God's going to, and when God judges America, and as sure as I'm standing here, this nation's going down. God will judge this nation before this 30-year dispensation, which I think's in about 23 more years. I think this nation's going down. It'll be judged. It'll be devastated. It won't be ruined completely, but every military base that are the major military bases, all the financial institutions will be hit. It'll happen in one day. And destruction will come on this country. And then the whole world is going to be so shook up that the only thing I can see in structure right now that could be represent the 10 kings is the United Nations. Now, there may be something happen that changes or develops new that we'll see more light on, but right now, I see the United Nations, the number 10 means judgment. And so I'm not saying that it has to be exactly 10 kings. I'm just saying there has to be a judgment seat somewhere in the world that can hold law and order and try to bring some kind of peace to the world. So right now, I'm looking at the United Nations as being that represents the 10 kings. I can see that if right now America was devastated about the only thing that is in any kind of a structural form that the world would try to put some kind of hope and some kind of have some kind of faith in would be the United Nations. And, you know, that they would try to take a hold and try to settle things down and try to find a way to bring peace. So that's what I'm seeing as being the, right now, the 10 kings that will take over once God judges this country. Yes.
I believe I heard on the news yesterday or the day before that Ahmadinejad wants to have the Pope and the leader of all the major religions come together and try to work something out.
Yeah, they're going to work on it. They're going to, you know, and America's going to be, you know, I mean, we've got a president right now that will, he wants to compromise with all this. And there's a great compromise going to take place. And they will set up an image and they will be a one world religion before this is over with. That's the beast system. And that's going to be set up. And so, after the earthquake, which I'm saying is the America being judged or being devastated, then there was fire, hail, a sea. What was it? It was fire and brimstone that came down, or hail and fire and vapor smoke. I can't remember just the wording of it. But remember, it said God wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. But God's the one that does that. God's the one that's in charge of all that. But what that means is he wasn't in that for Elijah. Elijah was in the cave while all this was taking place. He was in a safe place. And that's just a picture that the people of God in the body of Christ will be safe in the cave or in the body. And you won't be affected. That's not for us. God's not bringing all this destruction for us. But when a small, still voice spoke, Elijah stood and said, "Yes, Lord, here am I. Here's your servant." And God gave him the judgment for the rest, for the end, that the rest of the world. He told him to anoint Hazael to be king over Assyria. He told him to anoint Jehu to be king over Israel. And he told him to anoint Elisha to take his office to be the next prophet. And that, you know, that's just a picture that God's going to give a ministry the goods that's going to bring judgment on this world. And it'll set up. Elisha represents a Jewish ministry that will receive this message when the anointing of God touches them. When Elisha's cloak touched them, you know, they got that, they received it. And so the bride will be made up down here, but the gospel will go back to the Jews. God will begin to add Jews to the body of Christ, and they'll get a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and God will raise up ministers of God in a fivefold ministry, and it'll happen more right here, I think, in America than anywhere else. There's more Jews in America than there is Israel. But that'll be a sign. You start seeing full-blood Jews come in here and receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and being called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, you better know that we're right down in the end of time. God's fixing to make a big change, and it's the bride will be made up. We'll be moving real close to the last prophetical hour, but America will also go down right at that time. They'll probably start coming in and begin to get this, but America will still exist. Don't get me wrong. It just will be far more devastated than Russia was when it fell. We'll lose our military power. We'll lose our finances. We'll lose our civil government. That won't be really much structure in it. The people don't have much confidence in it right now. But when this country falls, they sure won't have any confidence in it. And let me show you something in God's wisdom. When all that happens, when these financial institutions are hit and the governmental institutions are hit and all the military bases have hit and brings devastation, there won't be any structure to know who you are. I mean, Social Security is going to end right then if it don't end before. And there won't be any way that the government will be able to identify people. You see God's wisdom in that? That's a good time to have a resurrection, isn't it? You know, I always wondered, what's going to happen to these people when they resurrect? How are they going to, you know, people's going to want to know, who are you? Where's your Social Security card? Where's your ID? But if ain't any of us got any that's any good, nobody knows what they, you know, nobody can, you can throw them in the trash, you know, if there's not any structure for that. And right at that time, God can bring up the just in a resurrection that will begin to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and begin to overcome sin and go right on in as overcomers and make the bride at the resurrection of the just. And so the unjust won't resurrect till after the 1,000 years. And so I know some of you here may not, you know, you may not heard it that way. Those of you that are visiting, your pastor may not teach it that way, but I know him well enough to know he doesn't care if his church hears things different, just like I don't, because I want you to know all the things that are being taught in the body. I just want you to know how I teach it and, you know, how I see it. And I'm willing to put it in the fire, see if it'll burn up. And but anyway, that right now is how I'm seeing it. Did I answer all your question on that? Okay. So, I was going to give you another scripture since it's getting close to. I just love starting out in one chapter and never getting to it, you know. I was going to give you the scripture in Ezekiel 32:7 to go with this earthquake that is the destruction of America. I just want to show you when the lights go out that God judges a nation, He puts the lights out on them. You see, there's more. You remember, don't you, that Lucifer was called the son of the morning. He was a light to the whole world. The whole world looked to him for. He had influence over the whole world back there. And he was the light. He gave the way, showed the way for the world to have successes and peace. So here in Ezekiel 32, now this is a judgment on Pharaoh and Egypt. Look in 32:1, it said, "It came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas. And thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foundest their rivers." Foulest their rivers. "Thou saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they'll bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land, and I'll cast thee forth upon the open field, and will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee, and I'll fill the beast of the whole earth with thee. And I'll lay thy flesh upon the mountains and fill the valleys with thy height." He's showing Pharaoh, you know, Egypt, "I'm going to judge this nation. And when I put thee out," verse 7, "I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I'll cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. And the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon the land, saith the Lord. So I'm just showing you, when God judges a nation and takes a nation down from being a world power, he turns the lights out. And I think everybody here would have to admit America is the light of the world as far as civil power is concerned, finances, military power. They are the light. Everybody looks to this nation for guidance. They look to this nation for help. They're messengers. This nation is a messenger to the world. And God's made this nation that way. God did that. And so, but when God judges this nation, darkness is going to come. He's going to turn the lights out. This nation will no longer be a light to the world. I'm talking about in the civil, financial, military, and religious powers. That's the other wind. There is religious power. Religion has a lot of influence over people. You know, everybody has, they have some kind of belief. They have faith in something. But God's going to judge all that. Everything that's false, a false faith, God's going to judge it. But right now, God's not judging all these religious systems out here, even all these Christian churches and all these organizations. God's not in all of that. God didn't bring all this separation in all these different organizations. He didn't do that. Man did that. It's no way our church, this church, Christianity out here, could be anything like the New Testament church. They were all one body. They all believed the same thing. They had a ministry that was all connected, chosen of Jesus Christ. They didn't belong to organizations and vote people in and out. I'd like to see you vote Paul out. I'd like to say, we're going to vote and see whether or not we're going to keep you around. You know. Anyway, it's time for church upstairs. I hate to end on that note. I wish I had something sweet to say. Anyway, this is all going to come out all right in the end. God's gonna preserve his people. You're going to be safe if you'll just stay in the boat. And the Lord will see us through. He saw the early church through. He judged that world, and the people of God were spared in it. You know, he made a way for them to flee up into Southeast Asia. And they all went into the different churches that Paul established. That's why I'm saying right now, I'm trying to tell all the brethren in the body, y'all better start helping these missionary works. And you better start building you some nice homes over there, because you may have to flee. You may have to live over there before it's done. So it might help you to realize that God may be preparing a place for us to flee to in the end of this world, just like he prepared a place in Southeast Asia for the Jewish world and for the people in the church in the last days to flee. And they were all living up there and going to church, and were put together with those Gentile churches that Paul established. So I'm watching God right now. He's bringing a lot of people in Africa, and we've got a church now being established in St. Thomas out in the Caribbean. We've got a church we're working on in Puerto Rico. We've got still all these churches. I've got 10 churches waiting on me to get to them in the Dominican Republic. That work's growing. The missionary work over there is really growing. And there's doors opening up in Guatemala and Peru and Costa Rica. There's, you know, God's reaching out to these other countries, and you know, the Lord, we know God's going to really reach the nations of the world in the millennium. It's going to take 1,000 years to bring every nation into subjection to Christ, where every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. But right now he's bringing some nations in and preparing for the millennium, where the gospel's carried and there'll be a place to work from after the bride's made up and after God's judged the system of this world and the seventh head of the beast, which, and the eighth head, which is be America and the Catholic Church again. All right, see you upstairs. Let's take a break. God bless.